Hey everybody, welcome back to the Moto 247 show, a Rocket Media production.
He needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner, and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number.
It's holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here.
And we're back, episode 64 of the Moto 247 show here. I'm Ezra Henry. Joey Crown will be joining me here in a second. But yeah, we're going to cover Foxborough Supercross. We're back, and honestly, I think we had some good racing this past weekend, and this season's, I think, just overall been pretty interesting. Some good racing for sure, and then a lot of just not good, I guess, just boring racing. The 450 class has been really weird. Jet has either dominated, or it's kind of been, you know, sitting on the edge of your chair there, kind of waiting for something to happen, if he's coming through the pack, or if he slipped up or whatnot. But heck, it's I think it was a pretty good night of racing. Could have had better, but I'm definitely stoked with how it turned out. Like, the 250 class wasn't really much going on overall in the main event, but I think just going into the final few rounds here, just for both, both East and West, it's going to be some really good racing. So really excited for that, especially with the showdowns. Man, it's two showdowns. Both coasts got three rounds left, including two showdowns, obviously, there for both. So I think that's going to really mix up the points a lot. It's going to be pretty crazy, and especially for Deegan, like, could he actually pull this off? Like, he's 13 points back, which sounds pretty crazy, but you throw in two showdowns there, and let's say he pulls off a win and a showdown, and McAdoo gets fifth. That's, you know, a few points right there, or more than a few, and what puts him down 8 points, and he's 5 points back, and then at that point, and we got another showdown, then you got another regular East Coast round. So, man, anything can happen there. So even though that he has a 13-point lead on him, and that's not even really counting Tom Vial right there. He's only a few points back there, so can't really discount Tom at all. He's right there in the mix as well. So I think it's going to be some really good racing. Then same on the West Coast. I think Levi has that more on lock, but still, heck, anything can happen. So it was pretty good, and especially the 450 class, man, this weekend was pretty crazy, so you really couldn't ask for more. But here Joey is, he's calling in right now, and we'll get into the action here. Talk about the action, I should say. And we're back. So I was just saying that Foxborough was some pretty good racing, and honestly, I kind of liked the track, and the 250 class was boring, I think, but man, the 450 class was pretty good, and we're talking about fantasy yesterday, and it wasn't a great fantasy round for me, but like, honestly, I was really, you know, sitting on the edge of my seat there, and I was kind of just, the heart rate was definitely going at the end. It was some pretty good racing, but I don't know, like, did you expect Cooper Webb to kind of be creeping back in the picture? Like, I thought this was kind of a lost cause here, and I thought Jet was kind of going to ride away with it, which obviously it's looking like it's going to be a good one here.
Yeah, I thought, like, I mean, Jet's a rookie, so, like, things tend to happen, you know, and especially after, I mean, last week surprised me, but I kind of thought he would bounce back a little bit better, but then this stuff happened to a really, really bad start, and it was bottled up or whatever it is that kept him from, well, bouncing back with the win. I mean, he rode really well, like, I mean, he always only does, but yeah, it's the 450 class. It's hard to get bad starts, make mistakes, and end up on the podium or win, so but I'm stoked for it. I mean, I want to see a battle down to the end. I'm not a huge fan of Jet. Like, he will have his time, like, to win, and like, he's going to be dominant in the future, but I want somebody else to win now, because if he's this good already, like, I mean, everyone's in trouble. Like, if he doesn't win this year, he's winning, like, I got money on him winning next year.
Well, the thing is, too, is you got all the top guys right now are all late 20s, early 30s. So it's like, if they're not going to beat him, and we got Sexton, but there's not that many, you know, up and coming guys that are going to challenge him if these guys can't, like if Tomac can and Webb can't, and, you know, and so forth. But it's just crazy. Just how, I guess, like, even the speed he has is unreal. And I was kind of expecting a little bit more in Foxborough. And I don't know. I don't know if that's just kind of discrediting the 450 class or what, but just after seeing what he's been doing, but it honestly played out into like a perfect race, I think. It actually allowed some good racing, and then kind of, you know, keeping tabs on him and Tomac back there. And I thought Tomac was kind of going to latch on to him after he passed him, like, because Tomac was ahead of him for a while. Like, I don't think they talked about that much on the broadcast. They're kind of, Tomac was picking off people first, and Jet was right there behind him. Then once he finally got him, it seemed like he built a pretty good gap on him, though. But, man,
yeah,
it was crazy.
I'm with you. I was a little disappointed in Tomac's performance. He could have made up a lot of points like Cooper did, you know, but he didn't capitalize on it. He made a mistake. Track was really slick, and he pushed it and fell, and then he still was ahead of Jet, and he was moving through guys well, but then he kind of just caught a stalemate, and then Jet, blew around him, and checked out from him. I was hoping more from Tomac. I mean, you saw the sense of urgency when Jet initially, like, was trying to make the move. Like, Tomac was like, no, like, he was trying for sure, but he couldn't hold him off. So then Jet went on by him and made his way up to Anderson, and I thought for sure he was going to get Jason. And
that
finish was something else. Like, he just pinned it, you know, like Jet totally could have closed the door.
Very surprising it, like, running Jason up there on him.
Yeah, he would have been screwed. If Jason was committed, he was pinned, Jet had the wheel on him, he could have just closed the door. Jason would be, you know, like, into the bales. But, he pulled him off, which is cool to see Jason do that, and then, which end up now the points are tied. I'm going to the next round, which I'm still done.
Yeah, like, the way this is playing out, it's almost kind of like a Hollywood script. Like, you have this new up-and-coming rookie that is, you know, he has a lot of haters, I get it, but, like, a lot of just fanboys, kind of like Deegan, right? And he has the flashy speed and everything, and we've kind of just thrown away, like, all that love for Sexton last year, I think a lot of people just don't talk about now, like, because he's not the smoothest, and that's been talked about a lot, too. All over, you know, social media and whatnot, but we have this newer, better thing come in, and he's been killing it, and he's made it, you know, some rookie mistakes here and there, going into, you know, like Texas and some small things like that crash there and Arlington, but yeah, just like, I really don't know where I was getting with that, but just, I guess the fact that, like, the Hollywood Indian, duh. I was going on there for a bit. With the points, like, once he built that lead, that, like, that sizable gap that he did, like, I thought, I'm like, there's no way that Webb's gonna reel him back in, then Sexton's even further back, but it's just been some weird kind of incidents the last few rounds that's kind of, you know, played in everyone else's favor, and now Sexton's only 15 points back, so, you know, like, that isn't crazy, but he still can't, I don't think he can win out, so he definitely has to have some help on his side, but he looked really good, I think, in Foxborough, and then Webb, I haven't been a huge Webb fan. I'm not a hater at all, but, you know, respect, but I don't know, he's definitely growing on me after the last couple rounds, but just the respect I have for him, and it's like every year, just how he's not the flashy fast guy, but man, he can get the job done, and if he can get it done this year, that would be a really cool thing. Like, I know, like you said, Jet's a rookie, but like after Jet's showed that he's been the fastest guy this year and he's not making the mistakes though like Sexton has last year. It's just some different oddball things, but I think it would be a hell of a story, but we still got four rounds to go, and I don't know. I'm just so used to, I guess, to Jet starting up front and then just kind of doing what he does. So I guess we'll see how it goes, and he seemed really pissed off, so well, obviously, but I think it's going to be a good last few rounds, and especially for the 250 class as well. Like I said earlier, like the 250 racing, I think, was pretty boring, but just the storyline going into the last, what, four rounds, I think, for both coasts should be really good. But even for the 450 class, Sexton's finally looking good, and I don't know. I'm just kind of wishing that Sexton would have stayed in Honda, because I'm just wondering how things would have turned out if he was still in Honda. Like, I know he wanted to be, you know, on a different team and everything, but I don't know. It seems like he hasn't really looked like himself that much this year, and thankfully he hasn't made too many mistakes that people are ripping on him for. I know Dean is one of the first ones in our group chat to rip on him, but he's been looking really consistent. But I don't know. I wish he had that raw speed that he had, because I'm just really wanting to know where that would stack up against, you know, Jet's raw speed of 2024. But I don't know. It's good to see him up there more. And who were you rooting for in the last couple laps there between Sexton and Webb? I was kind of on the fence there with I just like how it played out with the points, with them being tied. That's the only reason really why I wanted Coop the win, but still, like, I was almost thinking either way, it's going to be a show, and I really didn't really care. But especially with Anderson getting Jet there, I was happy that Coop got the win.
Yeah, I was kind of similar. I was undecided. I mean, I had Cooper Webb second in fantasy. Like, it would have been good case to pass him for that sake. And then, but then it throws the points off. Like, I was worried, like, the Chase would have passed Cooper, and then Jet passes Jason. Then, I mean, that's, what, 5-point lead still you had, would have. So it ended pretty well for the sake of the championship. And Chase still isn't out of it, which is nice. So Chase has been riding a lot better lately. I feel like if he gets a start, he will be, I mean, you saw him the weekend, like, he rode really well. But if he would have started in front of Cooper, then he would have won, I think. That's what I believe. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it almost looked like he had that little bit of raw speed and just that, like, I don't know, just that kind of aggressiveness. Not really aggressive, like, I don't know. Just that more of a, I don't know, like 2023 mode that he had on there for a while. Like, after, like,
yeah, it was, speed.
Yeah, that's the speed and just that urgency. Not the urgency, but just that, I don't know, the whatever, the speed, I guess. But he looked pretty good.
He
just
didn't.
Even going around rocks, and, like, he couldn't get around rocks, but obviously we can tell he was the fastest guy, you know. And there, he just couldn't get around him. And but even after getting around rocks in there, he pulled up right the Web pretty quick and just made that mistake after the finish line, kind of, you know, right after Web made his mistake. But he was right up on him. But props to the Kenny, too. He was right there as well. I'm like, okay, cool. Sexton's around rocks in there, and I think it's going to be a really good battle here in the last couple laps. And then I'm like, damn, Roxton's right there, though. Like, it kind of caught me off guard. I don't know. Not like, I don't think you can really count Kenny off, but I was a little surprised there for sure. But
yeah,
I don't really think you can write Kenny off at all. But yeah, I just
Kenny was he hung in there the whole race, which is cool. Like, yeah, he's been off lately. It was cool to see him back in it this past weekend. Another player when he gets a good start.
Yeah, and then, I really want everyone to be on their A game, and I know it's been a weird year with, like, Barsha being off, and I get it. Just sucks with the whole AC thing and him dealing with his injuries and just how his career is going to end. And I think this is our first podcast since he announced his retirement, but which is pretty crazy because that's, you know, one of the kids that grew up racing, you know, a little bit older than you and a couple years older than me. And I remember just watching him. I just remember watching the lap times at Loretta's before they had the Racer TV thing. And I would just see the you know, live scoring and timing there of AC and everything. And just, yeah, it just sucks with how that played out. But, yeah, it's been a weird year. But heck, if Roczen can be up there, and I think if some guys can get in between like Jett and Coop or Jett and Sexton, I think it would be pretty, you know, a good entertaining last couple rounds here. And, you know, we don't got any more indoor tracks, so who knows? I think we could have another mutter or two, which would, I guess, be a pretty crazy way to end the season. But I'm just, I'm pretty happy. I guess as of like a couple weeks ago, I was thinking that this 450 championship was going to be a pretty boring finish, pretty boring last month and a half or two. And needless to say, I'm, I guess, pretty satisfied how it turned out so far. So I'm pumped on that. But what's your, I don't think we talked about it too much, but what's your whole, I guess, take on the whole Sexton thing? I know people have been talking about it a lot. But just what do you think were, like, how much better do you think he'd be on Honda right now?
I don't know. I feel like his season would have been a lot like last year. Like, he would be really good one weekend, but then crash the next weekend, just same, like, inconsistencies. And honestly, it might even be worse than last year because of how set in his mind, you know, the bike not being good, like whatever it was, his crashes, he was blaming on the bike. So whether it was actually the bike or him or whatever, like he believed it was the bike. So having that in your head, it's hard to overcome it and not do it. So it would be tough. Like, I feel like at this point, now he's looking good on the KTM the past couple of weekends. Like, he's back to that level. Like, he doesn't have that raw speed like he did on the Honda. But, like you said, he's consistent, fast. Like this weekend, he rode really good. So, yeah, I think it's going to be all for the better, at least by next year, you know. This year is kind of like getting used to the bike and getting stuff dialed in, but then next year he should really make gains.
Just, I know you've been on multiple bikes and the Austrian bikes, and like, just how much of a transition was that for you when you're going over, if I'm remembering correctly, on big bikes, your first KTM, right, was the Club or Redemption back then, right, after... Shoot, what was that, 2018?
Yeah, it was 2018. Or 2017, I was on Cowies.
Yeah, so...
2018, I switched to KTM.
Yeah, how big of a, I guess, transition was that? And was it just, like, mentally bigger? Or I guess, what's your take on that?
I did actually like the transition. But... those 2018 KTMs were a lot different than the bikes are now. They had a lot of flex to them, which, me being a smaller guy, it favored me well. Where now they went so far in the other direction, trying to stiffen up the frames because the steel over time will stretch and longevity of them isn't as good. To where now they're too rigid. Which this past year, I believe, like on the factory editions, they changed it a little bit to try to get some flex back. But it is a big gap. And knowing, like I've ridden the Honda, I haven't, like I said, I've ridden the new KTM as well, and that's a like a big gap, especially at that level. A pretty big change. I like this stuff. Honda always feels like you're over the front wheel, and it's maybe a little more twitchy. Where the KTM's the opposite. If anything, it's more raked feeling. So it'll be really interesting how he is outdoors.
Do you think he'll it will be, I guess, a better thing for him outdoors then? A better, I guess, feel for it?
It could, yeah, it could be. Like I said, I feel like the Honda's maybe, like, out of the box, the Honda's is more, like, shorter wheelbase, steeper rake. It's more for, like, supercross. Where the KTM, out of the box, is definitely more geared towards moto. Not necessarily, like, the stiffness. Like I said, the stiffness isn't ideal for that, but the fact that, like I said, being a little longer wheelbase, a little more raked out, will help him, I think, be more stable. I think it'll be easier transition for him going to moto versus going to supercross.
That's what I'm, like, wondering. Hopefully, like, I know last year he was a little bit banged up, and he missed a couple rounds right in the outdoors, and Jet went on to the undefeated season. But I'm hoping everyone stays 100% healthy, and I know with moto, like, you know how it is. It's always, you know, something, right? And or unless you're some guy that's, you know, there's some lucky guys out there, like, you know, a couple that can eat crap a million times and bounce right back up. And I think a couple names, you know, come to mind on that. But I don't think there'll be another perfect season for the outdoors, but I really think, I don't know, I think that's, you know, something to be talked about in a future episode, but before the outdoors. But I'm, I guess, curious to know that, like, just to see where he's going to be. And I think he's going to be a lot better than last year. And I'm just, for Supercross, been worrying about that raw speed that he hasn't had so far. But after Seattle and this past week in Foxborough, I'm excited to see what he can do in the last few rounds and, you know, be up there with Jet, which, looking in the championship, like, you know, 15 points back, that's pretty huge. And he needs some, you know, needs to get some wins, and he only has that one. And that Mutter and Sam Fran, but I think it's, you know, Coop versus Jet right now. But I think Sexton could almost be like that wild card guy now, and it should be something good. And I don't know with Tomac, like, where do you have Tomac going in the last couple rounds, and especially fantasy, because I know we're talking about fantasy and how you haven't been doing that great in Rocky Mountain, and I'm kind of nervous as my leads, you know, again and shorter and shorter each round, and I keep on picking Jet for the win, and I don't know if I should go away from that. Like, I this past week I did not make my pick, so I had the rollover picks, and I had Chiz for ninth, and I was really pissed about that because obviously he's not going to get ninth. But after seeing Justin Hill somehow get ninth, I knew I definitely wasn't going to pick him, so I really didn't care about that. But just looking at my top five, it's just so hard to predict right now, and it's, I don't know, pretty crazy. Do you think, I guess, Sexton can be up there more, and after what he showed us in the last couple rounds, to even just be up there battling for a win, like, if Jet gets the start or something, that's, like, my only fear now. If Jet gets the start, it's, you know, almost over. You're almost kind of counting on a rookie mistake, hopefully, and I don't know. Like, if I was a betting man and now you can bet on moto, I'd definitely bet for him. But I don't know if you can bet in race, but, like, football games. But, yeah, I'm almost looking at Chase right now as that wild card guy. But he's still right in it, 15 points down. I think, one of the only guys still in. I don't have the points in front of me. I have to pull those up. But I guess.
I think Chase, he's picking up steam right now. Like I said, the past 2 weekends have been better, and he's still within 15 points. I feel like he'll, like I said, this past weekend, if he would have got the whole shot, I believe he would have won. But he didn't. He was a little bit further back. So I feel like this next weekend, gets a start, then he will, it'll be a different story. So I decided to see the next few weekends, and it's still hard to predict with everyone. And Eli, you never know who you're going to get. I think he rode really well in the heat race. And then last weekend, it was Eli of old. So, yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get with him. But, I mean, bad start and then fall. Yeah, like, I mean, he kind of finished where I would expect it with those things. Like, I've seen worse from him this year, you know. He would just get a fourth-place start and fade to eighth or ninth or whatever at Detroit or whatever round that was. So, he's still doing way better than that. But, I mean, I think him, for the sake of the championship, you know, he's out of it. If he would have, you know, backed up last weekend and won this weekend, then it would be a completely different story. But he had kind of a bum weekend, so it kind of wrecks your momentum. So he's just going to ride it out and just do the best he can do. And it'll be interesting the path the next few rounds. But the biggest thing with Jet is when he's not fastest qualifier, there's a good chance, and then he doesn't win that night. Like, whenever he's fastest qualifier, I think he wins pretty much. But, like, this past weekend, Cooper Webb was fastest, which that's kind of very rare. And then Cooper won. But like, I think Jet might be taking those qualifying times to heart, and maybe it's for laying into a not as great of a night. But this movie is kind of guessing whether it's a coincidence or not. But for like fantasy purposes, if he's fastest in practice, I'm definitely looking ahead to win.
But if not, then I'm questioning a little bit. I would always make my picks, like, let's say Monday or whatever, have a good feeling about it. And, you know, way before the race, with intentions to change them race day or after practice or whatnot. And I would always screw myself so bad after qualifying, thinking I'm making the right adjustments based on who's where. And I would always screw myself, where now I just make my picks before and kind of go with my gut there. And except for Jet, I pick Jet to win every race because I really don't like seeing him win. So if I win, or if he wins, I can be a little bit happy. Which I've said in here before. But besides that, I'm kind of just going with my gut, and many times it's so hard to predict, you know, second through fifth. But yeah, it's, I don't know, I'm almost now, you know, think it's just crazy looking back on last year with how many fastest qualifiers that Chase had, and this year, you know, he's just kind of, it's a ghost town for him, you know, there. And then Jet, like, I wonder if he has that, like, mentality of, like, he has to go out and win it, and, or, like, I don't know, I feel like he has the speed and everything, like, but I guess, you know, every person has their own mojo, and
I going think in some and
just
want
to dominate, right?
Yeah, with Chase, like, this past weekend, Chase didn't qualify that well. I was like, oh, like, he's going to have a tough night. Yeah, he qualified sixth, and I was like, ugh. That's not good, you know, for him. But, and he killed it. I mean, he got second, but he rode really well. And the night show came around. I think he's now, like, this year, like, he's a year older, like, not really caring as much about practice. Where, you know, you see Jet, he's young, he's whatever, like, he's a young, fast, where, like, I think Chase maybe is maturing some. That might be a little bit of that. And where, like, a poor qualifying time seems to affect Jet more at night than, like, including it did for Chase this past weekend. That's just my assumption about it. But, yeah, he for sure isn't clicking off the fastest qualifying time like he did previous, but at least he still bounces back and do good in the races when he doesn't qualify good, you know.
Yeah, like it's been a thing like that. Coop's been proven that it really doesn't matter, right? And I know, like, every rider's different, but he's put in so many bad qualifying times and came out swinging when I think it's like almost every time he comes out swinging, it's when we least expect it, right? So I don't know. All I know is going into the last couple of rounds, I had so many questions going, like after, let's say, going into the East Coast swing, then it seemed like I just still had so many. And now I feel a little bit more comfortable with Sexton. Really like what Webb has going on. Jet is, even though he doesn't have momentum, I think he still does, you know, especially after that hit from Barsha. He's still kind of right in there, even though he's lost a lot of points since then. But it could have been a horrible situation with that. And I think we should have some really good racing. But now transitioning over to the 250 class, I know we don't have that much time here. So we'll get into that. And, yeah, Danger Boy got the win. I think it's been a few weeks since I've not been a fan of him. And I've never liked, you know, the childish stuff that has been, you know, going on the gram and stuff from Deegan there. But after the last, you know, couple incidents with him, I've kind of been, you know, over it and kind of rooting for anyone else. And I still think it was a good race, though, for McAdoo. He looked pretty good and keeping that points lead. And I think it should be a pretty good one. I don't know. Do you still have VL? Like, he's only, what, 4 points down or something? So he's still right in there. I think that kind of a lot of people are counting him off on that. Like, do you think he still, I guess, has a chance moving forward here? And we got two more showdowns and one regular East Coast round. So there's still, I guess, a lot of things that could happen.
Yeah, I'm still, still think VL's in it. Like, this past weekend, I thought he rode pretty well. Like, not amazing, but, I mean, he still ended up third. And we saw him in Daytona and Alabama. Like, he killed those rounds. So, if he gets a good start, if things are clicking, I mean, that wasn't that long ago, so he can do it again. But yeah, McAdoo's, he's been pretty fast, but his mistakes still catch him every now and again. But this past weekend, he didn't make any mistakes. Just a bad start, which let Deegan get away.
I had a bad feeling there watching him for a bit, like when they had the camera on him. Like, I just felt like I had a bad feeling that he was going to make a mistake. I don't know if it was just me or whatever, but I'm looking at it, and thankfully he didn't. But I think he, you know, played it pretty good and took the loss there, but, you know, he's still, 13 points up on Deegan, which I think, you know, definitely keep an eye on going forward. But I guess, is this kind of a thing of Deegan getting healthy, or I don't know, I was kind of, didn't really know what to expect with him coming into the championship hurt, and, you know, moving forward, it's kind of been a weird season so far for him. And still, even after everything, he's 13 points down. And the crazy thing for McAdoo is, too, he was involved in that whole incident in Detroit and obviously, you know, kind of blew up on the internet for having his balls out there and getting those, 6 or 7 points. So it could easily come down to those 6 or 7 points. So that's pretty crazy. Like, if he wins the title by that many, that would be pretty insane. But, like, going into these showdown rounds, who do you feel the most comfortable with? Like, I would have to say it would probably be, you know, McAdoo or Deegan, right? Going into those, or do you have VL up there? We're thinking he can kind of, I guess, be that guy to you know, put him and let's get some, you know, West Coast guys and separate him from, you know, McAdoo or Deegan or you know, vice versa.
Yeah, I do feel a little up on McAdoo and Deegan. They definitely have the raw speed over Tom. If Tom can get a hole shot and kind of settle in, then, you know, he will be good. But in the 2K class, no one's going to let you settle. You know, you get to start and you got to go.
Yeah, they're going to have RJ and Kitchen to deal with. I think it's going to be, you know, hands full there.
Which, I think Kitchen's the best right now. He's on a roll of wins. He's, like, whole shots, like, ripping starts. I believe Kitchen's going to win the showdown. then I think, you know, you could slide Matt Cadu, Egan, and then it'll be a toss-up between RJ and BL. You know, RJ, you never know what you're going to get with that guy, so it's hard to really predict him, but yeah, it's kind of my opinion on this next weekend. I'm excited to see it. I love the showdowns. It definitely has a whole wrench in the program for all the guys.
You know, like, especially with RJ, I'm like, is he going to get second? Or, like, I don't think he's going to win. Like, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't really put money on him, no offense, but I think he could be a guy up there in second, or he could kind of be in fifth or sixth and just kind of, you know, throw it away. But I definitely think, like, going back to what I was saying earlier with it, you know, being, like, let's say if it was a Hollywood script for the 450 class, has been pretty good so far. Like, just right when you think it's getting boring, you're kind of pulled right back in there. Then with the 250 class in both coasts, like, it was boring this weekend, but, like, this storyline going into the final few rounds is really good, where I think, you know, everyone has to tune in and be, you know, on the edge of their seats, especially in these two final, the showdowns they have. But, excuse me, yeah, I think the West Coast is pretty much locked up, but just the way how the West Coast is going to impact this East Coast championship, I think it's going to be so entertaining to watch. And you got, you know, veterans like Smith and RJ. I think it's going to be crazy, but it's just going to be some really hard predictions. And I'm just thinking about who I'm going to predict to be on the top three there, and I have no idea. I guess I kind of have an idea. You know, I think Kitchen's going to be up there, like, but who knows?
Nate Crawford, too. Like,
yeah, he's been
he
off.
He won, I think, the last round last year. Randomly. Like, he'll just randomly dominate a race, so you never know with him.
Yeah, he's one of those other guys that just, I guess, just come when you at least expect it. And yeah, I totally forgot about that. And I've kind of been, like, really waiting for him this year to be up there and not necessarily win, but it'd be up there in the mix. And, like, I, you know, was remembering back to Daytona, I think, this past week, and when we were watching him and Lawrence battle out in Daytona last year, and Hunter took him out, and, like, he was right up there. He was that guy with Hunter Lawrence battling with him, and he had that speed, and this year's been a little bit off, but, yeah, I think it's just going to be some good race. I really don't have much to talk about in the 250 class from Foxborough, though. I guess, is there anything else you wanted to add from there? I guess I have one talking point there. But, yeah, do you have anything to add from the top guys or anything else down through the list?
No. Yeah, that's pretty much everyone that I can think of. I'll try to drop off here in a second. But yeah, I think that's everything I can think of right now.
Yeah,
Chance Time is screwing me in fantasy. But, yeah, other than that,
that's it. Yeah, he got me off guard there. That and yeah, with that speed and the which I don't play fantasy for the 250 class, so I was just like, dang, I jumped down late for the heat races there, and I was kind of keeping an eye out for him in the main events, and he did not kind of pull through there, so definitely sucks. But I know there's more to be talked about, but get you off here and we'll see how this, I guess, whole thing plays out for this next weekend here. And what do we have? Nashville. So that should be some good racing there. Definitely one I want to go to in the future. I think that would be a really cool one to go to. A really cool town. Good vibe. And, one thing I wanted to mention, too, really sucks for AP's injury. Hopefully it's nothing, you know, too serious. I guess it's Monday midday here in the afternoon. So I'll see if I, you know, if there's any updates on that. But, yeah, thanks. Oh, shoot, before you get off here, let's make our predictions. We got 250 class. I'll go first, and we can swap with you going first for the 450 class if you want. I guess I'll go with Kitchen, Deegan, McAdoo for top three.
All right. I'll go Kitchen, McAdoo. Yeah, just to be different.
Yeah, VL can be that peeping Tom in there. I watch too much Theo Von videos.
That 450 class. I'll go Chase, Chase, Chet, then Cooper.
I'll be a little bit different. I'll go Jet, Cooper, I'm Chase. Surprised. But I really want Chase to win. Well, really want Chase to win. But for a points perspective, I really want Webb to be up there and getting a maximum points.
That'd be cool
points.
If this goes what? Chase, Cooper, Jet. I went Chase, Cooper, Jet.
Chase, Cooper, Jet. Well, yeah, I feel like Jet's both. Always going to win. It's like the whole thing with Tomac. Like, whenever I didn't pick him in the previous years, he would always win. Then I'd pick him, and he'd lose. So
pick 50-50.
Well, yeah, I'll pick Jet. Yeah, if it means me sacrificing my valuable fantasy points for him to lose, I'll proudly do that and watch my points lead get down to zero here in the next round. But, yeah. We'll see that happen. But, yeah, thanks for hopping on. We'll see how this turns out and hopefully get an episode in before, I guess, this time next week. And maybe get Dean on and see if our schedules line up and whatnot. And I think we should have some really good racing to talk about after, what, round 14, I think. We're getting damn pretty far into the season. So, anyways, thank you guys for listening. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys for listening to episode 64 of the Moto247 show. If you haven't followed us on Instagram already, you can find us on there at themoto247show.com. And we do have in our bio, it says short clips are up on our YouTube. That is very outdated, so I will try and get to that as soon as possible. But once we get some longer episodes up and some more guests on here, I'll get the YouTube up to date. But, yeah, signing off. Peace out, guys. See you guys next week. Attention, motocross fanatics. Are you ready for the ultimate boost on the track? Presenting MotoX Pops, the vitamin-infused electrolyte-free pops designed specifically for motocross riders like you. With MotoX Pops, you get more than just a refreshingly delicious freeze pop. Our special formula is packed with essential electrolytes, keep you hydrated, focused, and performing at your best. No more cramps, no more fatigue. MotoX Pops replenish your electrolyte levels, helping you stay cool and focused even on those scorching race days. And here's the best part. MotoX Pops taste absolutely incredible. Available in mouthwatering flavors like Blutopia, Lemon Blitz, and Electric Berry Blast. Each bite is a burst of pure satisfaction. So, get your game face on, power up your ride with MotoX Pops, and conquer any track with unbeatable energy and focus. Coming soon at MotoXPops.com. MotoX Pops, the ultimate fuel for motocross champions.